Open your Bibles, please, to Hebrews, the 6th chapter. Hebrews chapter 6 in your Schofield Reference Bible, page 1295. Beginning with the 13th verse, we'll read responsibly through verse 20. The text verse for this evening's message being the 19th verse. And let's stand, please, as is our custom here at First Baptist. For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thee. And so, after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. For men verily swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is to them an end of all strife, wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, it confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things, in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation, who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil, whither the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made an high priest forever, after the order of Melchizedek. Let's pray. Father, ours is the privilege. We pray that you'd help us to realize to some extent the privilege that we do share here. Thank you for our church. Thank you for this evening's meeting. We pray that all that you have in mind for us would be accomplished. We pray that you'd meet with us truly, and that there would certainly be room in our hearts for that which you have put upon the heart of our preacher. In Jesus' name, amen.
Tonight, I want you to listen carefully, especially those of you that have had some doubts about the genuineness of your sound. Stay where I hate anything that doesn't obey me. Well, not everything. Somebody that lives in my house doesn't, but I... Okay. Look at there. If I can explain what I'm going to preach about tonight like I want to explain it, and if you have a blesser, some of you folks that never have been blessed will get blessed tonight. I'm going to speak tonight on the anchor of the soul. Now, you'll have to listen carefully. And tonight, a lot of you folks, you have some doubts about your salvation. And I think far too many preachers want to stir doubts up. Listen to me, rather than settling doubts down. I want you folks that are not born again to get born again, but I want you folks that are born again to know you're born again. And so I want you to listen to me tonight. Father, bless me as I preach. Please help me. I want to be a blessing. I want the people to be assured in their hearts. Thank you for we have an anchor of the soul. Amen. In the scripture we read a while ago, you need not turn to it again, but I want to read just a little bit of it. That by two immutable things, immutable means they cannot be changed, in which it was impossible for God to lie, and God cannot lie, we might have a strong consolation, get this now, who have fled for refuge, to lay hold on the hope set before us. God is talking here about laying hold on salvation. That doesn't mean you hold on to salvation. It means that you lay hold on what it is and understand what it is and get a good grip on what salvation really is. Then he says in verse 19, my text, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil. The apostle is talking about laying hold on eternal life. Or be sure you have it. Or how can you know you have it? Or get a good solid grip on what it is. Know the plan of salvation. He's not talking about hang on. He's talking about get a hold of what the plan of salvation really is. Not hold on to it, but understand it. Then he describes it. Oh, listen to me. He describes it as a ship in a storm. Let me illustrate. I was fishing years ago. I don't go fishing anymore. But I was fishing years ago down in Texas. One of my men took me out to Lake Levan near Garland, Texas. We were out there, and they were biting. We had one bit one week and one bit the next week. But that particular day, the fish were biting. And we didn't know it. We were pulling the fish up. We didn't know it, but a big cloud was coming up behind us. We didn't see it. We were fishing over on this side of the boat, and the cloud's coming up from the west. And all of a sudden, the wind came, and we were too far out in the lake to get back before the storm came. And my deacon said, let me throw out the anchor. He threw out the anchor. Now, the storm came. Ladies and gentlemen, it was a sudden and tough kind of a storm. I was scared. I was tossed. The boat was tossed. Water got in the boat. Water got all over us. Of course, we couldn't fish. But we never lost our position. We had an anchor. Now, we lost our condition. But we never lost our position. We didn't enjoy our position. But we never lost our position. We were uncomfortable in our position, but we never lost our position. In fact, my deacon was upset. He said some words, well, sound an awful lot like deacon talk. And he said some words I never had heard before. And he said some things that were sinful to say. But we never lost our position. Why? Because we had an anchor out. And though we were tossed in, and though turmoil came and fear came, we never lost our position. Thank God tonight we have an anchor of the soul. We may be tossed by every wind of doctrine, but we don't lose our position. We may be scared. We may even do things we shouldn't do. We may even sin or backslide. We may lose our condition. We may lose our reward. We may lose our joy. We may lose our peace, but brother, when the anchor's down, we never lose our position. I mean, so tonight, if troubles come and heartaches come and you get upset and maybe even have some doubt, it doesn't matter whether you have doubts or not, the anchor holds steadfast. You don't think you're saved, the anchor's still there. You may wonder if you were, or where, in fact, we did on the lake that day. We wondered if we were where we were. But we were where we were. I wondered if this boat hadn't gone farther away from the shore. But the boat hadn't. So it was not my behavior that kept my position. It was my anchor that kept my position. It was not my assurance even. There are a lot of people here tonight who are who don't know you're saved, but you are saved. And the reason is you get position mixed up with condition. And so our condition was not peaceful. We weren't glad we were there. We were worried. My deacon was using some unusual language, and yet we were still where we were. Now, the Bible says we have an anchor of the soul. Battles may come, and you may lose your joy, but the anchor holds. And our position is the same. See what you think? You think that the storm changes your position. No, the storm changes your condition. But nothing can change your position. Why? We have an anchor that is fast, steadfast, and sure. Now, that means the storms may come, but the anchor and the position never changes. The winds of attack may come, and your condition may change. Your condition may go from peace to war. Your condition may go from assurance to doubt. Your position may go from confidence to fear. Every condition. But the position is the same. Storm winds of doubt can come. Winds of temptation can come. But praise God, though the storm may take our joy, it cannot take our position. And the storm may take our peace, it cannot take our position. And the storm may even take our testimony, but it cannot take our position. Praise God, when I trusted Jesus, I let down the anchor. And brother, my position will never change. Now, sometimes I'm up and sometimes I'm down, but my position remains the same. Sometimes my heart feels warm, sometimes my heart feels cold, but my position remains the same. Why? I put down the anchor, and my anchor holds. It firmly holds, the songwriter said, and the Bible said. And so, I sometimes shout, and I sometimes complain, but it doesn't change my position. I sometimes love the Bible to read it, sometimes it's a chore to read it, but it doesn't change my position. Sometimes I pray fervently and sometimes I forget to pray at all. But it doesn't change my position. Now what I want tonight is I want you to realize that your condition may change and your sin may change your condition. And your doubt may change your condition. But brother, if you trusted Christ, you forget the position. The anchor is going to hold you where you were. Now, let's get down to the good part I've been waiting to get down to. Where is my anchor? My text said my anchor is within the veil. My anchor is within the veil. Now, I'm going to hang around this one a while because I want you to get it. Within the veil. Let me explain. Brother Moffat, I want to use you tonight. You're the high priest. Boy, I'm doubting my salvation already. Brother Moffat's the high priest. I'm going to lead you through this step by step. We're going to let that door over there be the veil. You got it? Okay, turn around like this. And once a year, on the Day of Atonement, the high priest would take the blood. And he would take the blood of the innocent substitute. It was on the seventh month and the tenth day of the month. He would take that blood inside what was called the Holy of Holies. Nobody could go in the Holy of Holies. Oh, boy, I'm just thinking of where I'm going. Makes me want to shout before I get to it. But he'd take that blood once a year. He'd take it inside the Holy of Holies, and nobody could go there but the high priest. Even the normal priest couldn't go there. Nobody could go there. Even Moses couldn't go there. He was the leader, but he wasn't the high priest. His brother Aaron was the high priest. And Aaron could go inside that Holy of Holies, but nobody else could. Inside that Holy of Holies, there was a little piece of furniture, about like that Lord's Supper table there, was called the Ark of the Covenant. Over the Ark of the Covenant, there were beaten gold cherubim over the Ark of the Covenant, and on the top was solid gold, and it was called the Mercy Seat. Inside that Ark of the Covenant were the Ten Commandments on two tablets of stone, Aaron's rod that budded, and a golden pot of manna, the sampling of manna that the Israelites had eaten, that was came down every morning from heaven as manna, angel's food, the Bible says. Now that was inside. That little piece of furniture was inside that veil. That's going to be the veil right there. It was inside that veil there. Once a year, the high priest would take the blood of the innocent substitute, and he would go with that past the golden candlestick, past the table of showbread, past the altar of incense, and he would go through that veil, and inside that veil was... Now, you stay out there, I'll tell you to come back. It may be several months. Measure the parking lot while you're out there, too. Okay. Now, he is in there right now, sprinkling that blood on the mercy seat. The Shekinah glory, representing the presence of God, hovered over that mercy seat. Now he's in there right now. I'm a Jew, he's in there right now. It's the Day of Atonement, and my high priest is in there. Boy, I hope he does it right, because once a year he does it, and that blood in there is going to atone for my sins for a whole year. So he sprinkles that blood, and when he sprinkles that blood, he comes out of the veil. I hope he's not home watching television now. He comes out of the veil. He holds his hands up and he shouts, "It is finished."
It is finished.
And that means for one blessed year, my sins have been atoned for on what was called the Day of Atonement. Now then, come over here, High Priest. We have a High Priest. That High Priest went to Calvary and shed his own blood. Not only is he the High Priest, he was the Lamb. John the Baptist said, "Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world." Our Savior went to Calvary, and as our Lamb, he paid the price for our sins. He took his own blood, as he has here. He took his own blood, and he went into the Holy of Holies in heaven. And there is a mercy seat in heaven. There was then. Because the one on earth was a replica of the one in heaven. It was patterned after the one in heaven. And he took his own blood. And on the way, Mary Magdalene came. Mary Magdalene, one of you, give me Mary Magdalene. Give me. Okay, Mary, come on. Mary, this is the one because I can tell she's possessed of seven devils. Either I've forgotten if you have seven children or not. But anyway,
seven grandchildren.
Okay. And so she came and she saw the resurrected Christ. And our high priest had his blood with him. He was on his way to the Holy of Holies to sprinkle his blood in the heavenly mercy seat. And he said to Mary Magdalene, "Don't touch me." He said to Mary Magdalene, "Don't touch me." He said, "Because I've not yet ascended to my Father."
I've not yet ascended to my Father.
What does that mean? That means that the high priest in the Old Testament could not be touched with the hands of man between the time he took the blood from the altar and sprinkled that blood inside the Holy of Holies. Jesus is our high priest. That's why he could say to Thomas later on, "Touch me, touch me. Reach out and touch my hands and touch these scars, if you please, and see the scar. Touch me." Why? Because he had already sprinkled the blood on the mercy seat. But now, wait a minute. Our high priest, thank you, Mary, our high priest went to Calvary, and all the other high priests were only pictures of our high priest. And all the other lambs were only pictures of the Lamb of God, God's final acceptable sacrifice. So, our high priest took his blood, and he took it. Let me have a little rehearsal. Okay, so, we're rehearsing. Our high priest, our Savior, 2,000 years ago, took his own blood and went inside the veil of heaven and sprinkled his blood on the mercy seat. But it wasn't just for a year. It was forever. And that's what the Bible says my anchor is. I'm out here and I have some doubts. Okay, that doesn't change at all. My anchor is inside the veil. I'm out here and I make some mistakes. I don't deserve salvation, but that my condition may change, but that doesn't change my position. My anchor is inside the veil. It may be that I may have some fears. I may have some problems and fears, but that changes my condition, but it doesn't change my position. My anchor is inside the veil. It may be that I even may not be faithful to church, though I should be, and that'll take my joy, that'll take my peace, but thank God, it can't take my soul. My anchor's inside the veil. And my anchor holds. It firmly holds. My anchor holds. Now, what does it mean? Listen carefully. My high priest never came out. He's still there. That's the way I had to get Moffat out of the service tonight. My high priest, and I told him a while ago, "Don't come back. You're fired." But my high priest tonight never came back out. That's why he had to say it's finished before he went in. Consequently, my high priest is in the veil. Now, my salvation doesn't determine how I behave outside the veil. It's my anchor inside the veil. Tonight, Dr. Curtis Hudson is at the point of death, and he has some fears, and he wants to live. And yet, tonight, though the fears are there, thank God his anchor is still inside the veil. And the high priest is not going to come out.
He's there tonight and has been there for 2,000 years as my intercessor, my mediator, my go-between. He's in there. And my salvation doesn't depend on what I do out here. It depends on what He does in there. He's my anchor. My anchor isn't belong to some stupid church out here outside the veil. My anchor is the high priest inside the veil. My anchor's not in some pope in Rome or wherever he is tonight. He's out here. My anchor's on what's up inside the veil. My anchor's not in some denomination out here. My anchor's inside the veil. My anchor's not in that baptistry. My anchor's inside the veil. My anchor's not in the Lord's Supper table. My anchor's inside the veil. My anchor's not in my good life. My anchor's inside the veil. Churches change. Denominations change. Men change. Lives change. But our high priest is immutable, which means he never changes. So once a year, that high priest went outside and went inside that veil, sprinkled the blood and came back out. That took care of it for a year. My high priest went inside that veil and that took care of it forever. My Bible says in Hebrews 7:25, He ever liveth to make intercession for me. What does that mean? That means when winds of doubt come and I'm tossed to and fro by the doubts of life, my anchor holds. My anchor's in that veil. That means when sometimes I'm prone to grow horns and do things I shouldn't do and say things I shouldn't say, I may get punished on earth. God may take my joy away, like He did David. He may take my peace away. But praise God, my salvation doesn't depend on anything that happens outside that veil. It's what's going on inside that veil. And He's been there for 2,000 wonderful years. Oh, you little salvation losers. You don't know a single thing about the grace of God. You little get it one day and lose it the next day. The trouble is you probably never got it. But let me tell you something. If you've ever realized that you're a sinner and you realize that your sins made you deserve to go to hell and there's a price on your sin, you have realized that Jesus Christ came into the world as the perfect Son of God and never committed a sin, and that He went to Calvary and took your sins upon Him and paid the penalty for your sins and rose again for your justification so He could go inside the veil, and that's why the resurrection is necessary. He died for you as the Lamb, but the Lamb only is not enough. You've got to have a high priest to take that blood inside the veil. If you've ever come to the place in your life to where you said, I know I'm a sinner, I know I deserve to go to hell, but I know Jesus paid the penalty for my sins, and I'm relying upon Him, like I said this morning, like I'm trusting this chair to hold me up. And if you ever trust Jesus like that to hold you up, and you trust Him to take you to heaven when you die, praise God, from that moment forward, not one single thing outside that veil can affect your salvation. It's not what goes on in home, it's what goes on inside the veil. But you say, preacher, I make some mistakes, but I have an anchor of the soul inside the veil. But you say, preacher, sometimes I'm cold of heart. Okay, it may cause your condition to change, but I have an anchor of the soul inside the veil. Oh, I wish folks could understand this. You people think you got to work to get saved. It's not you that does it. It's He does it inside the veil. That means tonight, Dr. Billings, I was with him the other day. He's living in a little retirement village right next door to where I was preaching. You know he loves me. You know he'd given anything to walk about 100 yards over there and hear me preach. But he couldn't get out of bed. And I went over to see him. And Doc wants to live. Doc likes to live. He's a living kind of a person. Full of life. Told me a few corny jokes. Same ones he told me last time I saw him. Same ones he told the first time he came and started our schools. Old Doc's lying there right now, can't get out of bed, can't even walk to the table. But he's there right now. And he has some doubts, of course, and fears. Of course, you would too. But thank God the doubts may come and the joy may be gone and the peace may leave. But the anchor of my soul is inside the veil tonight. Old Doc's got to anchor inside the veil. Battles come. Heartaches come. Even backsliding comes. Broken hearts come. Today, went to my office. Brother Grady had written me a note. Said, Buck Hatfield, a dear friend of mine, old Texas rancher that got saved as an adult and became a preacher. He's what everybody thinks a West Texas rancher looks like. Buck Hatfield got cancer. He's about my age, I guess. He got cancer. Just found out that the doctor's given up on him. I called him on the phone as soon as I got back to him, as soon as I got your note, Brother Bill. I called him on the phone, told him I loved him, that old West Texas rancher. Began to cry, and he said, you're my number one preacher. You're my number one preacher, Dr. Hiles, and I love you. And old Buck was crying. He's not the crying type. Old West Texas rancher, old tough leather-like skin, wears cowboy boots, bow-legged like every West Texas man is, riding horses, and woman, too, rides horses. Old, he's not a reverend. He's just a West Texas country preacher. Tonight, old Buck has some doubts. But, brother, I want you to know that the doubt has nothing to do with his position. A person may feel like in the boat, when the storm's there, he's not going to make it. But the anchor holds. He may feel like he'll be swept out to sea, but he won't. The anchor holds. I don't care tonight what you feel, what you do, the doubts you have, the fears you have. Brother, if you trust in Christ, the anchor is inside the veil, and he has not come out for 2,000 years, and he'll never come out. Never. Never. My anchor holds inside the veil. Winds of temptation come, but my anchor's still inside the veil. Brother, if I can keep that high priest in there, I'm okay. Oh, Brother Hiles, I feel like I don't deserve salvation. You don't. Brother Hiles, I'm afraid I'm not holding out faithful. You didn't start faithful. You didn't get it by being faithful. You got it by trusting who's inside the veil. My anchor's there. I can't see that anchor when I had that. I couldn't see that anchor when he was down at the bottom of the lake. But I knew it was there. We put it there. I cannot see my Savior, but he's there inside the veil. When the Jewish people committed a murder, manslaughter or something, they had six cities. Those six cities were called the cities of refuge. If when a person had committed unknowingly a murder, he could flee to one of those six cities. And he'd get over here, suppose this is one here. He'd get over there inside. Maybe inside to stay after a while. He'd get over there inside one of these six cities. And nobody could touch him. His pursuers couldn't get in those cities. Those cities were guarded. He was safe in those cities. How long was he safe? The Bible says he was safe as long as the present high priest lived. Boy, he prayed for that high priest to drink carrot juice. He prayed for the high priest not to drink too much caffeine. He prayed for that high priest not to get any blood transfusions. He prayed for the health of that high priest because, brother, when that high priest dies, he's got to leave the city of refuge. But he is safe only as long as the high priest lived, who was the existing high priest. That one inside that veil, Hebrews 7:25 says, he ever liveth. You say, you're a dirty sinner, deserve to go to hell. I know it, but I'm in the city of refuge. How long can you stay there? As long as my high priest lives. But I did something I shouldn't have done. I know. But I got in the city of refuge because I'm a sinner, and so are you. Well, how long can I be saved? As long as the high priest lives. So you can lose your salvation after all as soon as Jesus dies. Pick up your Hammond time sometime and picture Jesus there and said, Jesus just passed away. God is dead. Funeral home, Mr. Ault, going to embalm his body. We all pass by and there's a dead Jesus there, dead to stay. Then you lose your salvation. But let me tell you something tonight, ladies and gentlemen. When he went to Calvary and bore your sins and mine on the tree, and he rose to ever live, ever live, ever live. Yes, you can lose your salvation as soon as Jesus dies. When Jesus comes out of that veil, and Jesus comes out and no longer is inside the veil to make intercession for us, I'll lose my salvation. But I don't care what I do or where I go or what kind of doubts I have. Praise God, as long as Jesus lives, I have safety. Why, you see, if I believe that, I'd get saved and go out and sin all I want to. Yes, that's true, but when you get saved, you won't want to sin. Old Dr. John Rice used to say, I know what people say, I just get saved and go out and have my fill of sin. Dr. Rice said, I had my fill of sin years ago. And if you ever stop to realize, ladies and gentlemen, that there's an anchor inside that veil, and it doesn't matter what you do outside the veil, what goes on outside the veil, your joy can be taken outside the veil. Your peace can be taken outside the veil. Your happiness can be taken outside the veil, but not your salvation, because that's up to the one inside the veil. That means Peter cursed and swore, denied the Lord. Later on, a bunch of Gentiles came in. He got up, wouldn't eat with them. Paul said, I rebuked him to the face. Well, I bet Peter wouldn't preach the gospel to the Gentiles. I bet he lost his salvation, didn't he? No. No. Because the high priest the anchor was inside the veil. The apostle Paul, listen to me, went to Jerusalem. Took a Jewish vow after he had preached against those Jewish vows for so long. Took a Jewish vow, sinned. Well, I bet he lost his salvation, didn't he? No, because the anchor was inside the veil. I bet you when John Mark turned back, the book of Acts in the first missionary journey, went down to Pamphylia and turned back, I bet he lost his salvation, didn't he? No, sir, because the anchor was inside the veil. I have an anchor tonight. And the old ship of life, I've been tossed a heap, I'll tell you for sure. I mean, brother, my old ship has rocked many a day and many a night. In these 47 years of pastoring and 49 years of preaching and 68 years of living, the old ship has rocked. And sometimes I've been scared to death inside that ship, but my anchor was inside the veil. Sometimes the winds of adversity have come, but my anchor was inside the veil. Sometimes a blast of opposition would come, but my anchor was inside the veil. So we have an anchor, the anchor of the soul. Tonight, have you ever trusted Him? Have you ever come to a place where you knew you were a sinner and lost, condemned, realized that Jesus came, lived and died and rose again and took your place and paid your penalty for sin and ascended back to the Father inside the veil as your intercessor? Have you ever said, I'm trusting that is my hope for heaven? Brother, if you've done that, all the demons in hell can't get your soul. You're safe as long as that anchor. But our high priest who came out once a year, he ain't come out yet. And if he comes out right now, he's going to ruin my whole sermon. And I'll ruin his whole face. But praise God tonight.
if you trusted Christ, quit worrying about your salvation because you made a mistake. Your salvation is because the anchor of the soul is inside the veil. Tonight, if you've never trusted Him, trust Him. And from that moment forward, He'll be your intercessor. He'll ever live. He'll never leave that until your body is like the body of Jesus Christ Himself. He'll stay in that veil. And you'll be saved. How long? As long as the high priest liveth. And our high priest ever liveth to make intercession. Now that makes me want to serve Him. That makes me want to trust Him. That makes me want to give my life for Him. That makes me want to lay myself on the altar and say, all to Jesus, I surrender. Brother, if He's in there as my anchor. This deacon kept saying to me, preacher, I said, man, we're moving. You know how those waves will come past you and you think, I said, man, we're going out to sea. He said, no, sir. It may look like it, but the anchor is holding us right where we were. I have an anchor that stills the soul. Steadfast and firm, though the billows roll. It matters not what happens in the ship. The storms may come, the ship may toss and turn, but praise God, I have an anchor. And that anchor is inside the veil. What a truth. What a salvation. What a security. What an assurance. It doesn't depend on me out here. It depends on Him in there. Blessed assurance. Sing it. Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of His Spirit, washed in His blood. Sing it. This is my story. This is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story. This is my song. Praising my Savior. And what is that blessed assurance depend on? My works. El Papa in Rome, priest across the street, table down here, Holy Eucharist, Holy Cow, Holy Mackerel. No. My salvation depends on not one single thing that's going on outside the veil. It depends on the anchor of my soul, which at this very moment, my anchor, Jesus, is inside the veil of heaven, pleading my case. I can lose my joy. I can lose my peace. I can lose my assurance. But I can't lose my soul. Because my joy depends on what goes on out here. My happiness depends on what goes on out here. My peace depends on what goes on out here. But the security of my soul depends on what's going on in there. And He's never come out, nor will He until I see Him. Our Father. Boy, I love this. What a truth. What a God. What a Savior. What a plan. What assurance. What security we have. Oh, we out here. And pride comes in. We think we could do something to affect eternity. No, sir. Thank God it's the anchor of the soul. Position stays the same. Condition changes, yeah, but position never changes. Help us to revel in it and love You and serve You because of it. In Jesus' name, shall we stand, please?